In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful today. Come, wonderful Spirit of God, and fill the hearts of your faithful. Touch your people today. Let them know how much they are loved and how they are literally chosen to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. Father, touch the discouraged today. Touch those who are very, very, very much in the dark today. Help them to believe and to take their faith out and to believe in Jesus, that today something is going to happen that's going to deliver them from this darkness. That Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ is King. I'm reading from the 10th chapter of St. Luke, and it says, the 70 returned again with joy. Remember, Jesus told them to go and remain in one house and eat what was set before them, to heal the sick and to say that the kingdom of God has come upon them. The 70 return again with joy, because what did they do? They saw the power of God. They saw the healings of people, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. In other words, we could even deliver people from the satanic realm by just using your name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fell from heaven. Behold, I give unto you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Okay. Notwithstanding in this, not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. How do we get our names written in heaven? By faith in Jesus Christ and by baptism. We as Catholics believe that baptism not only identifies us with Jesus, but it does something to us. It brings us into the kingdom of God. But faith and baptism, not only baptism, but faith and baptism. You say, well, what about babies? They are saved in the faith of the church, but then they have to, at another time, when they grow older, to give their life to Jesus. Faith and baptism. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. Because who cares about what happens on the earth? I remember a statesman who was pro-life, and he was confronted by other statesmen saying, you know, your name is going to be taken down from this door because you're pro-life. And he said, you know what? I'm worried about nothing, but I know my name is written in heaven. It's not written on this door. Yes, that's it. My name is written in heaven by faith and baptism. And Peter talks about that we are saved by baptism. He says that in one of his epistles. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babes. Yes, revealed them to the 72. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. Yes, it's still that way, that the babes receive the word of God. Those that are so smart, you know, they have no idea how to give their life to Jesus. You can know the Gospel of John and repeat it by memory and yet not have your name written in heaven. It takes faith and baptism, I tell you. All things are delivered to me by my Father, and no man knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. It is that revelation of Jesus Christ revealing the Father to us. No one knows the Father but the Son, and no one knows the Son but the Father, and the Son reveals the Father to us. He's Papa, he's Daddy, he's God Almighty. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes that see the things that you see. What about us? We behold the Blessed Sacrament. We behold Jesus. Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you, many prophets and kings have desired to see the things which you see and have not seen them, to hear the things that you hear and have not heard them. That's right. David did not receive Holy Communion. David did not receive Holy Communion. He did not receive the Lord inwardly. He did not receive the Holy Spirit like at Pentecost. Oh, the Spirit was on him. But there was going to be a time when the Spirit of God would be in people. You read that in John 14. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Jesus. Well, this lawyer thinks he's smart. I just want to tell you, when you try to tempt Jesus, you're in the wrong place, because Jesus is Lord and he knows all things. And so he said, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said unto him, you have answered correctly. This do, and you shall live. But he, willing to justify himself, and I'm going to tell you, this is where the trouble comes in, when the lawyer wants to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered him and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, it's one of the lowest parts of the earth, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his clothes and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. So there's a man half dead on the road. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw the man that was injured, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, looked on him and passed on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. What does compassion mean? To suffer with. He had suffering with this man. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and setting him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto them, take care of the man, and whatever you spend more, when I come again, I will repay you. Which now of the three do you think was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy to him. He wouldn't even say Samaritan, because that was a dirty word. He who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. We need to look at the story of the Good Samaritan, because, you know, it's very, very sad to think that when somebody is blessing somebody because they're very sick and they think that they're better than that sick person, that's not at all what God wants. We are all broken people. We do not look down on anyone. We are called to minister to the broken because we are broken ourselves. We are called to minister to the broken, but because we are broken ourselves. Otherwise, I could get really proud thinking, you know what? Look how good I am. Look how good I am. I remember when I was in the seminary and I was deacon and I preached that day. It was a very interesting experience because I had prayed with a little boy in the hospital who had appendicitis, and when I went back to see how he was doing, his name was Joey, they told me he was dismissed. It was false alarm. And I said, I have no problem believing that Jesus healed this person. Well, I really got some static. I could feel it in the room, feel it in the chapel. And then I said, but you see, in order to be the person who is used for healing, whether spiritual or physical, you must know that you are cracked pots, you are broken people, and that your brokenness brings you to other brokenness to bring healing to them. Yes, you have to be the man on the street in order to fix people. The man on the street waiting for Jesus, really. The man on the street. As we are the man on the street and Jesus picks us up, I'll never forget it. He picked me up in a vision and I'll never forget it. That he, I told him, don't put me on the donkey. I said, you carry me yourself. You see, Jesus is the one who tells us that the broken will heal the broken. I thank you, Father, Father in heaven, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them to babes. This is God's will. God's will. It's always been that way. Saint Francis would always go to the newest brother that was brought in, and he would sit at his feet and tell him, tell me all about your love of Jesus. Francis, of all people, who loved Jesus to the nth degree, would go to the poorest person that came into the order, and he'd say, tell me about your love for Jesus. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful. That's what you call the poor of the world. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thou hast hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, such is your goodwill in your sight. So let's continue with Luke 11. Now it came to pass as they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Jesus into her house. Now, this was a place, Bethany, where Jesus could just relax. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she may help me. And Jesus answered and said unto Martha, 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 you are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the better part, which shall not be taken away from her. In other words, you know what I'm saying? I didn't really need the soup right now. I needed someone to listen to me. I needed someone to sit at my feet. I needed a disciple. Because you sit at the feet of Jesus, you're a disciple. That Mary is a disciple, Mary of Bethany. Yes, discipleship in the year, whatever, 32. For women, Mary sits at the feet of Jesus saying, Mary is a disciple. We remember at the death of Jesus and his resurrection, the first one who is a witness of the resurrection is Magdalene, Mary Magdalene. Well, women were not able to be witnesses in the court, but not so with Jesus. Not so with Jesus. It's all about Jesus giving freedom to people, setting them free from bondage. It's all about Jesus. But, you know, Martha is no slouch either, because in the 11th chapter of St. John, when Lazarus is about to be raised, Jesus says, "Who do you think that I am?" She said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Same thing as Peter. So Martha was no slouch. She was a little anxious. And, you know, they all got their soup that day. They all got their chicken that day. Jesus wanted someone to listen to him and to hear him. He wanted that more than the chicken soup, more than the chicken that they were going to give them. And it's that with us, spending time with Jesus. Spending time with Jesus. It is more important to spend time with Jesus than to run around and heal the sick. Because you'll dry up if you don't spend time with Jesus. You might ask, how I know? I've experienced it. That I was running around healing the sick, and they got healed, and God did wonderful miracles, but I was not spending enough time with Jesus. And you know what happened to me? I burned myself out. Spending time with Jesus, it's very important. That's what Mary tells us today in the Gospel of Luke 10. I think that this is a beautiful, beautiful experience that Mary sits at the feet of Jesus. We look at the 11th chapter of St. Luke, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased praying, one of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." In other words, this is going to be the disciples' prayer. And he said unto them, "When you pray, say, Our Father," not my Father, but "Our Father, who art in heaven, holy, hallowed be thy name." Yes, first we hallow the name of God the Father. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." This is so important. God's will is that his kingdom would come and his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, there's no grumbling. In heaven, there's no sick people. In heaven, there's only joy and peace and happiness. I tell you, it is God's will that the kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because that's what he says. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is so important. When we mumble the Our Father, we forget to think that God wants heaven to explode in our midst, the presence of God. God wants that. And he wants that this would happen now. That even as I preach to you and speak to you, that you would be touched by the presence of heaven. You would be touched by the presence of the Holy Spirit. That the cloud of glory would come upon you. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." He promises to give us our daily bread. "And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who has sinned against us." Yes, this is very important, that we forgive people that have hurt us. And this is so true, especially for the sensitive people who are nth degree sensitive. You must forgive your person who hurt you, who molested you, who did terrible things to you. You must forgive that person. You must forgive the person who drove you to Planned Parenthood. You must forgive that person. And you must forgive yourself. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I tell you, it is not God's will that anyone who went to Planned Parenthood should suffer, because God wants to forgive that sin through the blood of Jesus. This is real experience stuff. This is not pie in the sky by and by when we die. God wants us to experience the kingdom of God now. And if you had an abortion, I'm telling you, go to confession and get rid of it, because the Lord doesn't want you tortured. He doesn't want you tormented. The devil will torment you, and he'll say, "You killed your child." But I'm going to tell you a secret. Your child is waiting for you when you die. Oh, yes. That child is waiting for you when you die. Talking about those things again, we want to remember that in Planned Parenthood, what's happening, they are taking children from the womb, and I'm going to tell you how they do it. They crush the head so that they could have the kidneys, the hearts, and the lungs and the liver whole, because they sell these things. So what do? They crush the head of the baby. It, I know it's disgusting, so that they could get the kidneys, the hearts, the liver, and the lungs. We know that this is not tissue alone. These are babies. These are children. And the people that crush the heads of these babies are butchers. Yes, they are butchers. They lie. If you know, if they kill, which they do, they kill the child, they lie. So if you kill, of course you're going to lie. It's just the way it is. But I want to tell mothers who have had abortions, who have heard this terrible stuff, your child waits for you in heaven, and God wants to forgive you so that you're never again tormented. There is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. If you're Catholic, you get to confession. If you're not Catholic, you just ask Jesus to cover you with his precious blood. Ask Jesus to cover you with his precious blood. That's what you do. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight? That's not a very good time. And say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is on a journey, has come to visit me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, bother me not, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give anything to you. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his insistence, he will rise and give him as much as he needs. And I say to you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and him that knocks it shall be opened. This is an unjust friend, and yet the unjust friend, because he is being awakened, and this is insistence by his friend, is going to give him stuff just to get rid of him. Now, God's not unjust. God is just, and he's righteous, and he's holy. How much more will the Father give the things that we ask for when we really need them? How much more will the Father give those things to us? I'm not talking about a new car. I'm talking about our daily bread. I'm talking about a job. I'm talking about money enough to pay our bills and to tithe with. How much more will God give us than the unjust judge or the unjust friend? I tell you, much more. Why? How do I know that? Because the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross out of love for us. He rose from the dead, and he is now at the Father's right hand pleading for us. Oh, yes. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over your people and over me. I plead the precious blood of the Lamb. How blessed are the eyes that see what we see, that we can see Jesus Eucharistically. I ask you to go to the Google and look up Miracle of Lanciano, L-A-N-C-I-A-N-O, Miracle of Lanciano. I ask you to go to Google if you can and look it up. The Miracle at Lanciano, L-A-N-C-I-A-N-O. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The vocation of Jesus can be seen in the words, I have come to seek and save that which is lost. If you're lost today, call on the name of Jesus. He has come to seek and to save the lost. Hallelujah. You know if you're lost. How do you call on Jesus? Jesus, help me, save me, give me a new life. I'm sick of this life that I'm in now. You're lost with drugs. You're lost with other things. Give your life to Jesus. Call upon his name today. The Lord is telling me to preach that as I finish the radio program. I need to hear from people. We need to pay July's bills, which are $26,000. You can go on the internet, inseason.net, and leave a donation. Or you can write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. The Lord has come to seek and save you, that which was lost. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.